Hello, everyone. I'm Becca, dietitian by trade, mom 24/7, wife from the start, and when there's a few extra hours in the day, you might find me hitting the trails or on horseback.
And I'm Kara, a therapist to women, a mom to a boy, an entrepreneur, mountain junkie, and a postpartum runner.
And this is Fit for a Queen, a podcast that's devoted to the female athlete wanting to balance the teeter-totter of all the things we desire out of life as women. Performance, health, intellect, and taking time for self, even if we only get 1 minute out of the day.
We're so excited to be bringing you the queens in the athletic world who have done just that. Okay, ladies, take a seat at your thrones, grab your crowns, and welcome to Fit for a Queen.
Good morning, queens. We have Dr. Shufil here today. We're really excited to hear about her really quite specialty training in cardiology and females, and we're going to talk a little bit about the female athlete. So a little bit of bio. She works at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. She has a master's degree in epidemiology and biostatistics from University of Southern California.
Dr. Shufeld is a women's health expert and board certified in internal medicine with advanced trainings in preventative cardiology and women's health. She has several leadership roles in the American College of Physicians, the North American Menopause Society, and is a certified menopause practitioner. Her research is NIH-funded and focuses on premenopausal women with amenorrhea due to low estrogen and the impact of hormones on the immune system and heart disease. She has over 100 publications in the area of women's health and is involved in several large studies, including the women's...
Ischemia.
Oh, goodness. Syndrome evaluation, the Women's Health Initiative, and the Los Angeles Atherosclerosis Study.
Lots of big words.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots of medical words.
I apologize.
They always say when you go to medical school, you don't come out speaking English the same way.
Well, thank you again for joining us today. Can you share with us your latest research looking at the role of hypoestrogenism and cardiac health?
I would be happy to. So we're conducting a study that's NIH-funded, so National Institute of Health, which is our tax dollars at work. So this is an important area that our government thinks needs to be studied in women. And we're looking at women who've stopped having their menstrual cycles due to hypothalamic amenorrhea. So that's a condition that occurs really due to three specific causes. So one is stress, one is under-eating or low-calorie intake, and one is over-exercising. So extreme athletes can also have this, like long-distance runners as well. Or it can be a combination of all three, or even a combination of just two. And I think there's also something to be said that there's probably an underlying, you know, genetics that we just don't have the answer to yet, because some people can be a very extreme athlete or very stressed out, and they don't stop having their menstrual cycles. So this is a condition that stops your menstrual cycles because it sent the signal from your brain in the hypothalamus, the hormone called follicle stimulating hormone or FSH, that stimulates the ovary to make an egg every month and to make estrogen, is turned off. The good thing is it's called functional because it can reverse. So it's a reversible condition. But this results in that period of time when a woman's not having her menstrual cycle, her estrogen levels fall very, very low. In fact, they can be as low as a woman who's in menopause. And so far to date, research has shown that these low estrogen states can really impact the bone health. Mm-hmm. Of young women, specifically because estrogen is important to keep our bones healthy and strong. And even one study showed that 6 months of not having your period, your bones already showing thinning or osteopenia.
Wow.
But to date, there's really been only a handful of studies looking at their heart health of young women. And we know that estrogen in menopause can change risk factors for heart disease. But what is a young woman's low estrogen level do in terms of her heart health, especially because these women look very, very healthy on the outside. They're athletes, they're very, or they're, you know, college age, middle age, young women that are premenopausal that should be getting their periods. So we designed this study to look at blood vessel function or vascular function in women with HA or hypothalamic amenorrhea and compare them to women who are having their menstrual cycle every single month. And to put everyone on the same playing field, we're age matching these women, and we're also matching them according to body mass index, or how much they weigh compared to their height. And those women are having regular cycles. And then we're having a third group of women, and these are healthy women that are recently in menopause. So we're looking at two groups of women with low estrogen, so the young premenopausal women with HA, recently menopausal women with low estrogen states, and comparing them also to this matched group. And we are measuring right now, it's an ongoing study, vascular testing. And what is that? Well, that tells us how healthy the blood vessels are, how bouncy they are in terms of what their impact is on their heart health. And when we can then determine if you have low vascular testing, and that could be an early sign for heart disease in women. Vascular testing tells us how stiff the blood vessels respond, and it's really the first in a cascade of events that over the years can lead to blocked arteries or heart disease itself. So far, this is an ongoing study, so our results are preliminary, but the preliminary data that we published did observe that women with HA did have a different vascular testing or vascular function than women compared to those that have normal cycles. And we also are now bringing in the component of the immune system, because we looked at inflammation and we found that women with low estrogen states are also have more pro-inflammation, which we believe that can also be the driver for future risk for heart disease. So then the new thing that we're doing in this study is then giving women back a patch of estrogen that have HA, because they're not making estrogen. The way that you can reverse HA is to decrease your exercise, increase your calories, or decrease your stress. But in the meantime, could we give a patch of estrogen back and see if the blood vessels will recover? So we're doing that in a blinded state, meaning that a double-blinded trial, which means that we don't know if a woman's getting a patch of estrogen or a placebo patch, because we want to make sure that is it the impact of estrogen itself or something else going on that would create these blood vessels from not really responding as well. So my mantra has always been the menstrual cycle should be considered a vital sign. Mm-hmm. So we take blood pressure, we take pulse when you go to the doctor, and usually you're asked, when was your last period? And I always say that it shouldn't be about when was your last period. It should be more about, are your periods regular and occurring every month? So I'm hoping that this research will now lead to making women aware of that their menstrual cycle should be, and making them aware that this is a condition that's out there. And it's common. It's very common. The latest estimate is it's as common as some conditions that we know that are like lupus. It's as common as lupus. So it's very common and can occur in young, healthy women. And they might not think of it as being concerning, but it's something to go talk to your doctor about.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's so ironic, because how many kind of start innocently, well, I want to eat healthy to protect myself from chronic diseases. Like, you know, my grandpa has heart issues, therefore I'm going to eat healthy for that. Or I'm trying to avoid, you know, sugar's toxic because it causes inflammation. Well, what they end up doing is then underfueling. And from what you're saying is that they actually are damaging their heart by not getting enough fuel. So it's just kind of ironic.
And it's potentially damaging your heart. I mean, the idea is that estrogen in a young woman is really healthy and it should be there. And these low estrogen states might play an impact in future heart health. Mm-hmm. So you're exactly right. You think you're doing the right thing by exercising and eating right, but if you don't have the estrogen on board, you're almost taking two steps back instead of two steps forward.
Oh. It's important research going on.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Mm-hmm. And on that lines of research, I was so excited to visit with you today, because I know a couple of years ago they had that study that came out that looked at, and it was kind of broad labeled as running was bad for your heart. And of course, I always want to go and dig deeper into research and look at what they were honing in on. But hearing your data and how it seemed like it was more those runners that did excessive, like, back-to-back marathons or events that had the most, please forgive my ignorance, like stiffness in their arteries. But I wonder if it was really because they were underfueled and were hypo-E, or for the males, hypo-T. What do you think?
So I think you're referring to the study that showed the influence on chronic exercise on carotid atherosclerosis on marathon runners, and that was published in the British Medical Journal a couple years back. I think it was 2014. So that was a little bit deceiving because they measured something called carotid IMT, which is intimal medial thickness, which is a marker, just like the vascular testing, the blood pressure, the blood vessel testing itself is a early or preclinical marker, we call it, in the cascade of heart disease, so is carotid IMT. So by them concluding that atherosclerosis was assessed, they're really not measuring atherosclerosis or blockages. So the IMT is an ultrasound of the carotid artery that measures the lining of the carotid wall. It's not looking for blockages. So, but it's an early sign if it's thicker. So when I looked at this study, what I found most profound is that they looked at 42 marathon runners and compared them to domestic control. So sedentary, but they weren't very sedentary. They couldn't control for people just being couch potatoes. And these were women in their 40s. And so what they found was that their carotid IMT or their thickness of their blood vessel lining was not different between each other. Now, that is an early marker for heart disease, but I will say that if you look at the results, they're both very, very, very healthy groups of their carotid lining was very thin. So it suggests that they're very healthy to begin with. So to say that this is that, and the other thing to say is that they looked at runners compared to their controls, and all of their cardiovascular risk factors were very, first of all, they were both very healthy, but the runners had much more improved cardiac risk factors. So while their cardiac risk factors were better, their carotid IMTs were exactly the same in terms of their controls and runners, but they were both very, very healthy. So it's hard to conclude that running wouldn't prevent you. What would be even more interesting is if they looked at these women a decade later. Mm-hmm. And they said, because then you have the control of time, because as we age, our lining of our carotid wall thickens naturally. It goes up. And to give you a reference, we get concerned when a carotid IMT is over 1 millimeter. And these runners compared to controls were 0.60. So they were very, very healthy overall. So I think what would be great would be to look at these women over the future. And then the other thing to say is I think it would be great if we had the ability to control for estrogen and ask the question if in any of these runners, did they have a period where they stopped having periods or menstrual cycles due to overexercising? Because that would suggest that while they have great cardiovascular risk factors, it might be the estrogen that could be the driver for not having a difference in carotid IMTs.
Interesting.
So Dr. Shufelt, how can women be proactive regarding their heart health? What would you say?
So I think, first of all, it's hard to think of heart disease at an early stage in a young woman, but the statistics are very telling. So heart disease kills more women than men every year and kills more women at each age group. And what's more profound is that heart disease rates are declining in both men and women, which is great news. But the last statistics are pretty concerning because the heart disease they were plateauing a few years ago, but they're starting to go up again in age 35 to 44-year-old women. So this is a group that it could be estrogen status is important, but there are also risk factors that for heart disease that we need to think about. So for young adults who haven't been screened for cholesterol, we obtain usually a baseline cholesterol panel, so that's your blood lipid panel, and at the time that you go in for care. And then also we screen for something called familial hyperlipidemia, which is just your high blood cholesterol in your family puts you at an increased risk for heart disease. We look at risk factors such as high blood pressure, diabetes, which is blood sugars that are starting to get elevated. Of course, we don't want women smoking, and the rates of smoking have declined dramatically. It's around 11%. But those that are smoking, it's harder for them to get off smoking or stop smoking. And then we look at family history. So we look at family history of early cardiac disease. So we screen for all these risk factors, and I think that's important in terms of being proactive regarding your heart health. Then, of course, you've got the excellent lifestyle. So the diet, the exercise, I'm going to add in the menstrual cycle as a vital sign, like I said. And then we have a group of what we call novel risk factors that are really specific to women. For example, in the recent last 5 years, we've learned that what happens during pregnancy can impact your heart health. Hmm. So pregnancy, if you think about it, pregnancy is our first natural stress test. It's a 9-month long stress test where women...
Amen to that, right?
Those of us that have been pregnant know that it's a stress test because your heart rate can go up at certain times, your blood pressure drops at certain times, and it accommodates a growing fetus, and sometimes now more than one fetus. Mm-hmm. So it's a natural stress test that occurs. And the women that develop high blood pressure or diabetes during pregnancy or even have an early or what we call preterm delivery for unknown reasons or develop preeclampsia during pregnancy that requires the baby to be born right away, that's considered what we now call a failed stress test. So that's a marker for a woman's future cardiac risk. Mm-hmm. So it's important that doctors are asking questions about what's happening during pregnancy in terms of your heart health, because that can predict. And that doesn't mean that you need to start medications right away, but it means that you need to get in and be more diligent about those five risk factors I talked about at the beginning, which was the cholesterol, high blood pressure, diabetes, and lifestyle. So those are kind of our newer risk factors that are specific to women. And then there's a lot of other risk factors that we're looking at, because clearly in a 35 to 44-year-old woman, the risk of high blood pressure and cholesterol isn't really there. So these great calculators that we use as doctors to determine a woman's risk, that woman looks really healthy because they don't have high blood pressure, they don't have high cholesterol, and they don't have diabetes. So their risk calculator looks very low, but we should be adding in these other newer risk that are specific to women, especially in this group.
Mm-hmm. Huh, fascinating. Yeah. Don't you have an ongoing study right now that involves that group?
The group of the pregnancy group?
I think I saw on your website where you're looking for people to enroll for data collection. Is that correct?
We have several ongoing studies right now. And one is looking at estrogen status as a risk factor, looking at preeclampsia as a risk factor for future heart health. So all of these, I think, you know, this is why women's health research is so important. Mm-hmm. And my calling to say, this is why women who participate in research actually live longer, because they get to find out all the information right away.
Wow, everything is connected. That makes so much sense, looking more into pregnancy in terms of our reproductive health and health overall. That makes a lot of sense.
And you're right, that's such a big group that, one, we tend to get busy with family, so we don't maybe keep up with our medical appointments. On paper, probably looks good, so we're not being as more proactive, but gosh, it sounds like we're actually at the highest risk that we could be in that age group.
And I think that's an important point, is that women get so busy with their families, with their community, with their children, or, you know, making appointments for them, that it is easy to skip appointments. I always say women are kind of the upside down triangle. You know, you think of they're the smallest piece of the pie at the very bottom that's holding up everything else, whether it's their children going to school, getting lunches made, their spouses. And so it's important to take time for yourself and really get checked up every year. But it's easy, you know, we've all been victim of it, to say, oh, it's only been, you know, I can wait another few months to get checked out. But that's why I think it's important to talk about it. And it's so great that you guys have this forum to mention it.
Great. Well, we're thankful for you coming on. And on that talk about balance, we always like to ask how you balance the fit philosophy of performance, health, intellect, and taking that time for self, you know, flipping that triangle up.
I know, flipping that triangle upside down. Yeah. So I do a lot of community talks talking about that. But I think, you know, my personal time at work is the intellect. Obviously, I get to have really stimulating conversations, and it's an honor to be a doctor and talk to patients about different things that are going on in their life. And I find a lot of joy with that. In terms of, you know, what I do when I get home after my 1 hour commute to and from work, is I get on the treadmill and I run. So, you know, my kids can play around where my treadmill is and I can still spend time with them, but I have to make that time to exercise. And then of course I have a trainer because I've got to do weights twice a week. So, and then keeping up on women's health screenings, I think that's important. And yeah, balancing life and work and travel and fun and laughter and hobbies and everything like that is how I stay balanced in the fit philosophy.
Well, great. Well, we'll be sure to put the link to your research study so they can, one, see if they want to participate, and two, kind of keep up with research. But very exciting and very cutting edge, and we're thankful that you took your time and came on today.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you. Thanks for doing the work that you're doing, too.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Thank you to our sponsor today, Sentimano Counseling. Sentimano Counseling is the premier perinatal mental health practice in Kansas City, treating mood disorders during pregnancy and postpartum, perinatal loss, infertility, eating, and exercise disorders. Go to sentimano.com for further information about the practice and services. For additional information on today's topic and guests, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Fit for a Queen.
Hashtag Fit for a Queen.
And don't forget to rate us on iTunes. We can't wait for you to join us next time on Fit for a Queen.
Bye, queens.